Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There you are, Robbie.
Dan, hello, how are we doing?
I'm all right, thanks. How are you? I missed you last week. You just hadn't really been around the pub very much.
I've been travelling the world.
Yeah, you didn't like tell me you were going. You didn't leave a note. It was quite confusing.
Yeah, should I have told you?
It's just what friends do. Consider us friends, don't you?
It's a strong word, isn't it? It's a very strong word, loaded with connotations of friendship. And I just I don't like to label things and all that.
I suppose you know I'm a customer, so it is difficult. There is a line, isn't there?
There is a landlord regular demarcation line that we need to stick to. How have you been, Dan?
I've been pretty well, thanks. Pretty busy. It's the last week of fantasy football, so I haven't done any pubbing this week. But because it is the last week of fantasy football, there are pub trips coming up in the next few days, so I'll have plenty to report on next week, hopefully. How about you?
Well, I have a pub from a previous week that I've forgotten about. I'd like to add to the record.
Oh, okay.
So last week I did a recording from the mountains.
Yes.
But I'd forgot that I'd been to another pub that week. In the gap in between going skiing and the previous podcast, I had forgotten that I'd been to the Alwyn Castle, which is in the Highbury Islington area of London, where I had upwards of 2 drinks.
I think I might have been there.
Yeah, you quite possibly have. It's on the road that goes, if you're coming up Upper Street, you turn right, whatever that one's called there.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's a very pleasant pub. I've been there. Been there on quite a few occasions. It's. I don't mind it at all. Yeah.
Well, I've yet to record your pubs from last week. Were there many?
I can't remember now, Dan. I can't remember, okay. But it's kind of...
I mean, you're so far ahead. It's almost embarrassing to discuss it, if I'm honest.
Well, Dan.
More than double what I'm on. And okay, I'm guessing you've now got another few more to add.
Well, I went to Rome to run the Rome Marathon.
Lovely.
And the best bit about running a marathon is the post-marathon drinking. Actually, there's 2 great bits. There's carb loading beforehand, which is basically eating insane amounts of pasta.
Oh, that's great.
Which is a great thing to do in Rome.
But just without the marathon.
But then there's the other bit, which is the drinking afterwards. I thought, do you know what? I'm going to get so many pubs. Now, before we get into that, I'll talk about prior to the marathon.
Okay.
The first night I got there, myself and my friend Nicola, we thought we'd go out and try and go to a few pubs and drink some alcohol-free beers because we don't want to drink, obviously, before the marathon.
Yep.
First pub, there was an Irish pub below where we were staying. Didn't do any alcohol-free beers. I don't know if they're just not as popular in Italy.
Not as big in Italy. We might be ahead of the curve, yeah.
Yeah.
So no 0% Guinness there or anything?
No, nothing in that one. Mm. We then went on to another place and... I did find 0% Peroni there, which we drank.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But it did raise an interesting point because we went to various places and in Europe, in Britain, I think, it's quite easy to tell what is a pub or a bar.
Yes.
In Europe, you're throwing in cafes as well.
Yeah.
And it's hard to work out where the qualifying line for the competition, as it has become a competition, is.
Yes.
So I'm
yes,
only
because, you know because I mean? You're going to get cafes that's but that will sell beer, and is a pub. In some ways, is a pub a cafe that sells alcohol?
In many ways, it is. Yeah,
because you go to a coffee shop quite often to chat to someone, don't you, and have a coffee or tea or whatever, and you go to a pub to have a pint of beer or whatever you want to drink and to chat to someone. So they're.
So I think
they're different, but there are similarities. Yeah,
I think for me, for this, when in Europe on this trip, in the pre-marathon phase of this trip, I think I need to look at the intent. And on this occasion, when I went to this place, it was to drink non-alcoholic, albeit, but beer in a sort of bar type environment in the evening. I think that that one place that I went to there should count towards it. Although it was called Cafeteria 800.
But then you do get, you get cafe bars on the continent, don't you? So it is confusing.
Well, this is very much that.
It's a very grey area.
It is. Okay. But I think if I'd gone there in the day and had a coffee, I don't think I'd be claiming it. Whereas if I'd gone to Wetherspoons and had a coffee, I would be claiming it.
Yes.
So it's tough.
They're amphibious, aren't they? In the day, more of a coffee. In the evening, quite happy to dip into the beer.
Yeah, so it's, but some pubs will do that for the coffee. But so it's tough. So I think if you're happy, I will claim that one, even though it is. And I'd be very happy to hear any views of people. Robbie at moonunderpod.com.
And what are you? What was it called?
Cafeteria 800. L apostrophe 800. And then the number 800.
Oh, okay. All right.
And it did. It had bars. It had beers on tap. I think it's. It's
I think beers on tap is quite a good rule of thumb, maybe.
Yeah.
For a bar.
Yeah. It can't be the only rule because I went to an Indian restaurant that had beer on tap. That doesn't count as a pub.
Yes. That's true.
Yeah. So
it's a minefield.
So anyway, so that's the one I'm going to be claiming from this week.
Okay.
Prior to the marathon.
Yes.
Now, I went to do the marathon. Now, this is my sixth marathon. I've done a few. They're always challenging, but in different ways. And I had a bit
mostly,
of...
Mostly the way of being quite exhausting.
Generally, yes. But yeah. I went into this. I had a little virus type thing that my son's got, a little coffee thing. It's not particularly... It's a bit more annoying than anything. It's a bit coffee. But... it's some kind of viral thing because he went to the doctors and I've got the same symptoms as him, so I presume I've got the same thing.
Okay.
But I thought, you know what, I'll be fine. It's just like having a cold, not a problem, carry on. That wasn't correct, it turns out. And I've looked back at my Garmin watch thing that's got all my statistics. You can see like my heart rate variability's unbalanced in a few days beforehand. So there's obviously other things going on other than just a cough. So anyway, did the race, was going all right considering for most of it. Certainly a halfway stage was fine. 30 kilometers starting to feel it a bit. And I started to get a bit dizzy, a little bit feeling nauseous,
like
a headache sort of thing on. And I got to the end and I was a bit of a mess, slightly confused.
Oh.
Started randomly crying at the end as well, which is normal.
Very emotional.
Yeah, it was quite emotional. But my friends, Stu and Nicola, were there. They sort of...
Oh, you were with Stu?
With Stu Fay, yeah, as well.
Oh, that might explain the tears.
Yeah. I was able to see him. Yeah. So eventually, I wasn't great. I lay down on the floor for a bit sort of thing. And it wasn't any hotter than it had been in Lisbon or anything like that. But it was only later in the day after I had a rest and I looked that I realised I'd had heat exhaustion. Which is,
I was going to say, it sounded like you needed some fluids.
Well, I'd been having plenty of fluids, but it was beyond even that. And I think it was because of the virus that meant I had this. But for those who don't know, because I didn't know, those are all the symptoms of heat exhaustion. And if you don't stop that, it becomes heat stroke, which is a life-threatening emergency. And
wow.
That's where it gets worse. So I think I was just the right side of heat stroke, but it does mean...
Fortunately.
Yeah. So, but what it essentially means, and the reason I'm telling this sob story, is that I was in no state to go to pubs after that.
Oh.
So I didn't do any pubbing after I was in Rome, didn't drink any booze in Rome.
Well, good for me.
Good for you. And it does mean I've got to take it easy for a week. So I'm going to be out of pubbing action for a good few days as well. So you really do have a bit of a window here to claw it back a little.
I am hoping to do at least three this week.
That's good. So what's the score roughly, do we know?
The rough score. Well, I haven't.
What's the difference?
If you've got a rough. Well, you're on at least. I would
say I did three the previous week, perhaps.
Okay, so you're on about 42, and I'm on 16.
Okay, so yeah, three's
so
not going to
quite
help,
a big difference.
Yeah,
and I've also really upsettingly, there was a sort of a semi plan of going to Gothenburg later this year with my Danish friends. And I had to cancel because I'm in the middle of a Taskmaster edit, so I can't go. I was hoping to rack up maybe 15 over 3 days in Gothenburg. That is a massive blow. So I was hoping for a really big June boost to try and just put me back in the race.
What's your tactic for this pub challenge, Dan? Because I don't want your head to drop here. I feel that you sort of feel you maybe already been defeated.
I think the purity of the 52 pub challenge is to get to 52 pubs in a year. And I think that's what I've got my, it's a bit like you're in the championship, you're QPR, you're rubbish, and you just need to stay in the division and just do what you can. And similarly, that's about 52 points. So this season anyway. So that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I want to do 52, but if the opportunity arises, such as a Gothenburg trip or something, where I can maybe pack in a load and try and just claw back some pubs on you and just try and reel you in a bit, and then maybe sprint finish towards the end of the year, just try and close that gap and see what I can do. You know, I take it one pub at a time, Robbie.
Okay, I'm a little bit, yeah, I just, I'm not sure you've got the hunger and the drive to really compete at the top level of pubbing. You've got to be looking out there for the future. You've got to be looking at the year and you've got to be going, where are my opportunities?
Mm.
Big thing, the summer, European Championships. You've got to be thinking, where can I maximise pubbing then?
Yeah, well, that was it. That's what we were going to Gothenburg for. We were going to go and watch a couple of matches.
Yeah.
So... Mm.
Well, disappointing. Disappointing, dude, yeah. Dan.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So generally, to sum up, I'm not particularly well at the minute. At the beginning, I said I'm well. So I think we should have a minimal rummage. Rummage through the post bag here.
Let's do it.
And just pick one choice thing off of that notice board. The post bag is stuck to a notice board, surprisingly, in the Moon Underwater.
Yeah.
The post bag. Just put your hand through the letterbox into the post bag that's on the notice board and see what you can find. Dan, would you like to read away?
Well, I've got this lovely... message from Colm Dalton. And he says, how ya, Robbie? So,
are we saying that correctly? How ya?
H-O-W-Y-A.
I think, do you have any information on where Colm is from? Because that might help.
I think he might be from Ireland.
Okay. All right. That's making sense now.
I'm not going to try and do an accent.
No.
But he just addresses it to you. Not interested in the regular.
I think he's noticed your lack of hunger for the 52 pub challenge and doesn't consider you worthy of this place.
Do you think I'm losing respect amongst
the listenership? Yeah, I think you are. I think you need
listenership.
I think you need to have a bit more about you, and I think you need to come in one day and go, I've done 10 pubs this week, Robbie.
Okay.
And that's what you need to do. Because you don't have to, that doesn't mean you have to drink 10 beers.
No.
It means you have to have gone in to 10 pubs and had some form of drink, I would argue.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, look, I'll try and pick it up.
I mean, if you want to win the respect of people like Cohen, you've got to be better. That's what I'm saying.
Fair. Now, actually, I mean, it might well be this, might well be that from Colm, because if we listen to what he said, he says, hope all is well. I'm just messaging as a fan of your fine pub-related ramblings, and I have a story you might be interested in. I'm in the process of visiting every Irish pub on earth.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that is ambitious.
Well, for a start, that's every pub in Ireland.
Yeah, that's very true. And as we've heard in some of the podcasts, in some very small places in Ireland, there's like 20 pubs.
Yeah. Well, he could have. I wonder if he's been to the one underneath where I was staying in Rome.
Yes. Or the oldest pub in Ireland that you went to. Oldest pub in the world, sorry. So far, it's been 85 pubs in 45 countries from Indonesia to Sao Paulo and even to Tottenham.
Wow.
I believe there are 6,546 Irish pubs on earth. So there's a bit of distance to go yet. You can read a bit here. And he's put his website, which is publicanenemy.com, if you want to go and read about his journey. Many thanks, Colm. I love the ambition of that. I don't know where he's got the stat from of 6,546 Irish pubs in the world.
I presume he's including Irish pubs. Come on, let us know if you're including them. Let's have a look. Oh, yeah.
Pubs in Ireland.
Yeah, pubs in Ireland. I've just looked up his website in my mind.
Yeah,
he has been to quite a lot. Oh, yeah. He's certainly doing Galway City there. So he's certainly doing some Irish ones as well. He's got a good little, this is a good little website, this.
I'm going to look it up in my mind now. You've piqued my interest.
Oh, this isn't some half-hearted, I'm just going to try and go to some pubs.
I'm going to try and go to 52 pubs in a year.
Yeah, this isn't like just, oh, I'm going to go to all the Irish pubs. He's giving it a good, proper go here.
Wow. The pub list update in November. Amsterdam, the Azores, Bray, Ardfoot, Athens, Cologne, Krakow, Jakarta, Singapore, Stockholm, Gibraltar, Rhodes, Bali, Malmo, Leipzig, Sicily, Granada, Malta. I mean, he's doing a lot of very fun travelling.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, yeah, that's my marvellous website again. It's publicanenemy.com, which is an excellent. If I wasn't so ill, I'd try and think of a public enemy-based pun, something around him, around Chuck D., or favorite flavors. I don't know. I'm not well enough to be at the top of my pun game.
Your pun cortex in your brain is not working.
Yes. Let it be known for the record, however, that I thought about it.
Yes.
Thank you. I rest my case.
You did very well.
Wonderful.
Robbie, do you think we should tell people about our live podcast coming up?
I don't know if we should, Dan, because it's going to be so good. I'm worried that people will lose their minds. And I don't want that on my conscience. But okay, if you think it's fine, all right, we'll tell them just this once. The Moth Club.
Yes.
Sunday, April 7th.
Yes.
Me. Ahir Shah.
Yes.
And you. Yeah.
Are you're we going to talk?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, third billing. Yeah. Sorry.
We're going to talk pubs with him. We're going to do an episode with him. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm going to be sticking around and sinking a few pints, if anyone fancies some pints.
Definitely.
And it'd be nice to chat to people and meet people and hang out because, quite frankly, Dan, this pub needs a few more regulars besides yourself.
Yes.
To drink with, because I need someone with a bit of pub challenge about them because you have exposed your weakness today.
But if their minds haven't been totally blown, where can they get tickets, Robbie?
If they want to sign a disclaimer saying that they are not going to sue for having a blown mind, then they can go to any of the Moon and a Pod socials and you'll find links to it there. They can go to Moth Club and they'll find a link to it there. People know, Dan, if you want tickets to something, they put it into the internet and it blooming well tells them where to get it. But yeah, go to the Moon and a Pod. Meanderpod on Instagram, for example, and you'll find links to it and all that sort of stuff.
And what else can people write into it? Because you were going away, we were asking people to write in about things. We wanted to build our menagerie of animals, stuffed animals in pubs.
Yeah.
That sort of stopped at about three, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, there wasn't a huge amount of those. I'll be totally honest with you, Dan. I've got heat exhaustion and I cannot think straight. Oh, the heat exhaustion's gone, but I've got the aftermath of it, which takes a few days to go away, apparently.
Yeah.
So I don't know is the honest answer, and I apologise, but next week I should come back with more viv.
More thoughts. More vim.
Vim, that's the word I mean. See, you can't even say vim. More vim.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I'm glad you didn't die.
Yeah, I'm glad. It would have really soured the trip.
It would have done, and I don't know what I would have done in terms of getting into the moon underwater.
I can't imagine you'd have
been. Would have been left there.
Yeah,
in the correct realm.
I think it would have been the end for you here, if I'm totally honest. Right, Dan, could you just delicately and carefully take the pub notice board off the wall because I'm too weak to handle anything else.
Sure.